You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
A real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Crispy Compact Communique, the random online streaming version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast that we're getting to you some way, somehow, here in this crazy year of our Lord 2020. I am Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are here still to give you some interesting tidbits in sports, entertainment, and odd news. We've got some interesting topics to get to. Some of them almost seem like odd news on its own. So if you like that kind of a show, you should be happy for this week's episode. But before we get into all of those news topics, Mike, how are you doing over there?
I'm pretty good. This past weekend, I had a chance to go to Longwood Gardens, right out there in Kennett Square, not too far, about an hour west or so of here. It was a lot of fun. I hadn't been there in a long time, probably two decades or so, but it's, again, the perfect what?
It's just funny. I feel like everyone has been going to Longwood Gardens the last week.
You know what it is? It's outdoors, it's Christmas themed, and it's just, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing. During a pandemic, during Christmas time, what are you going to do? You go and you see the lights at Longwood Gardens, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's, it is true. That's what everybody's doing this time of year. It was really packed there. But the people at the staff said it was less packed than most years, like less than half capacity.
I would hope so with everything happening.
It didn't seem that way. I mean, there were tons of people. I mean, they did a very good job of it. If anybody's concerned about going to attractions because of the pandemic, I can say that Longwood Gardens handled it really well. They had, you know, designated, you know, single entrances and exits for a lot of the indoor things and a specific route that you had to follow. And they only sell a certain number of tickets per day with timed entry. So they seem to be handling it pretty good. But it was a lot of fun. You know, big outdoor open spaces, beautiful displays. I put some pictures up on, you know, my Instagram of some of the things they have. They had a banana tree, Rich. It was really interesting.
Mike taking the social media photos.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. My caption was something like, yeah, there were bananas, cacti, and bonsai trees. And I was like, I hate social media. But anyway, but yeah, so it was really cool. It was really nice. It was a lot of fun. Definitely recommend going to check it out. Their gift shop has some amazing food. So I got, this is like the most random thing to talk about, but they have this sea salt caramel butter honey cream thing. And it's really, I know there's a lot jammed in
there,
but it's really, really,
it's like everything positive that you could spin, you just shove it into the name of the title.
Exactly, right? It's caramel. You got some saltiness with the sea salt. It's honey. it's cream. It's delicious. So it's really good on like toast or waffles. So I've been enjoying that, but it was just a good time. It's really hard to come by tickets. So if you want to go, you have to plan it in advance. But it was a good outdoor activity to do during the Christmas time pandemic season. So that's what I was doing. Rich, what have you been up to?
So
did you go to Longwood Gardens?
No, I didn't. Although I have gone to Longwood Gardens plenty of times because Rachel pretty much forces me to.
It's definitely a thing you do with the significant other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm one of, this is my problem. I see a flower. I'm like, okay, whoop-de-doo.
No,
like,
come on. Some of them are nice. Some of them are nice.
I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Like it's a plant. Woo. Like,
it's a plant. Woo. Oh my God.
I'm
You're such a Grinch.
I am. I do like the Christmas lights. The Christmas lights are nice. That's that.
But what about the bonsai trees? Did you like the bonsai trees and the bananas and the cacti? Those are my favorites. The flowers are flowers.
To me, that's not worth. I don't know. I don't really.
I did like the displays of poinsettias. They had one that like wove together like a DNA helix. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah. So I did not go to Longwood Gardens. No, I don't do that. I try, even though I try to avoid it, I'm there multiple times. So
wow.
Go figure. instead, I took my own advice and I made some soup this past weekend that came out really good. And I did something else too that I've always wanted to do. And that was I cooked ribs in my Instapot, and it actually worked.
Ooh,
I was really surprised.
Okay.
There was something I saw like a couple of videos on YouTube, and people were claiming that it was one of the best ways to cook ribs. And I was like, really? That can't be. That seems too good to be true. You know, like one of those cases.
Right.
So I figured, why the hell not? Let's give it a shot. Rachel had gotten me an Instapot last year for Christmas, so busted it out. I followed the instructions on some of these YouTube videos, and yeah, it came out to perfection. It was actually really good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay, so how'd you season? Did you do a dry rub, some saucy barbecue sauce? What'd you do? Give me the details.
So yeah, what you do is you cook it in the pressure cooker, and it does take a while because. Right. You know, you want it to have...
Well, you got to go low and slow, right?
Well, here's what you can do, and this is what most people on YouTube recommend, is you use apple juice as your liquid inside the Instapot.
And
it worked. I got to say, it sounds weird. It sounds like it's too good to be true, but I tried it. It worked. And then you take the ribs out. Then you coat it with the barbecue sauce. And you put it in the oven to caramelize for a little bit, and then it's perfect.
Ooh.
It is.
Well, when this whole pandemic thing is over, you got to make me some ribs in your Instapot.
I will, man. I know how to do it now.
Yeah, now, you know what's funny is we're both taking on this more like chefly role because because just this past weekend I made
chef.
I made gumbo this weekend.
There you go.
So, shrimp and Beyond Sausage gumbo.
You know, we are the crispy noodle. It makes sense we have a little bit of a food segment.
You realize eventually we're going to turn into a food podcast.
Yeah, it's like we're destined to.
It's the natural evolution. Just the other night, I made some steak. I overdid it a little bit. I overcrowded the pan.
Oh, no.
I know.
Can't do that, Mike.
I had the basting action going with the butter.
Did you season it beautifully?
I seasoned it beautifully, but I should have seasoned it more beautifully. I didn't put enough salt and pepper on it.
Gordon Ramsay, so disappointed in you, Mike. Season it beautifully.
I watched his video. I watched his video for how to do it. And I tried to season it beautifully, but it was only kind of beautifully.
Yeah.
I should have seasoned it more.
Yeah, beautifully. Yeah. You have to season it beautifully.
Beautifully.
I still don't know what that means, but beautifully.
You know, beautifully. When you look at it, you're like, oh my God,
it's beautiful. The seasoning's beautiful. Oh my God.
You have to season it so beautifully that you don't want to cook it. It looks so pretty. And when you get to that point where you're like, I don't want to cook it because it's so picturesque.
That's when you throw it into a scalding hot pan. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So there you go. Random start to the crispy noodle podcast here. How about we go to the topics that we do have planned other than recipes and food and random stuff. We got to get to some sports news. And before we get to the one piece of advice or the piece of news that everyone wants us to give our advice on, there's something I got to talk about because I love talking about Futility Watch. We've been following the Jets all year. They're yep. still winless. But they are even more winless after what they did at the end of their game against the Raiders on Sunday. This is going to go down as the dumbest call of the year. I don't care what happens in the next 4 weeks or the postseason. This is it. This is how you get. And a matter of fact, he got fired for this. That's how dumb this call was. He got fired. So the Jets were up by 4 points. The Jets were winning. They were about to secure their first win and end Futility Watch for us here on the Crispy Compact Communique. But then the Ravens marched down the field, and they had a chance to put together a game-winning drive. Eventually, it got down to the point where there was only 10 seconds left in the game, down by 4. And all the Jets have to do at this point is prevent a touchdown. That is it. Not even a field goal can help you. They're down 4 points. So literally, just don't give up the big touchdown play with 10 seconds left. That's all you have to do, New York Jets, and you get your first victory of the year. Needless to say, this is not what happened. So I want to go actually a little bit more in depth as to why this is the dumbest call of the year, because you should be able to understand how dumb this is just by playing Madden. Basically, you have different cover schemes to work with as a defensive coordinator in Madden. And one of the best things to learn is the cover system. Cover 0, cover 1, cover 2, cover 3. Don't let the numbers scare you. It's basically just how many safeties are you playing in the far back to prevent those big score opportunities. Cover 3, oh, you're being really conservative. We're putting 3 guys back there. We don't want people to score. Cover 2, that's more mainstream, more moderate. Cover 1, okay, we got a guy back there for support. Cover 0 is no safeties. All right. So let me just go over how absurd this is. I actually have graphs here that I want to present if you're watching the video form of this.
I love this.
So here you go. This is a traditional cover 2 play. You have 2 safeties in the back. You can clearly see that there are those nice red rectangles that serve as a further protection for the safeties to guard against those big play opportunities. That is something that maybe you should consider calling with only 10 seconds to go, and you just need to prevent a touchdown. Okay? That's all you need. There you go.
Sounds reasonable.
Right. Call something like that. Get your safeties back so you prevent a touchdown play. Instead, Greg Williams has this boneheaded idea to call cover 0, which means you do not have safeties in the back. Every cornerback is on a man-to-man coverage, and they called a cover 0 blitz, which means that everybody besides those 4 guys that are covering 4 wide receivers are blitzing the quarterback. There is no support in the backfield to assist with anybody getting a big chunk of yardage or possibly winning or possibly grabbing the game-winning touchdown. And this is exactly what Greg Williams calls. And with 5 seconds left in the game, the pass goes to Henry Ruggs, and he pulls off the game-winning touchdown. Ravens win in a ridiculous game that the Jets should have had. This is going to go down as the dumbest call of the year. I don't care what happens in the future. Greg Williams deserves to get fired. Some people came out and had sympathy for him, that he was trying to play aggressive and that's his style and all this stuff.
No.
I'm sorry. He deserves to get fired.
No,
this is a move that if you've played Madden for a couple of weeks and you're using the gameplay tutorials and everything like that, you would know this is a horrible call.
Right.
Ask Madden. Remember Ask Madden? Remember ask that? Madden. There was
That's what Williams needed. He needed a direct line to Madden, because you're right. Nobody makes this call. A cover 0 blitz is possibly the worst. And I think it's historic. I think it's the only time in NFL history since they've been keeping advanced statistics that a coach has called an all-out cover 0 blitz in that situation.
Yes.
With a team, with your team leading and the other, and you know, in the last, 10 seconds of the game with the opposing team having the ball. Nobody's done it in the past 14 years. So it's not like it's a rare call. It's a never happened before call. It doesn't happen.
A never happened before call and a stupid call.
Right.
Unless.
And here's the caveat.
You are purposely trying to tank this season so you can get Trevor Lawrence by going 0-16 this year. either Greg Williams is the dumbest defensive coordinator the NFL has ever seen, or this is all part of a ploy to go 0-16 and tank the season and get Trevor Lawrence. That's it. Those are your only two options.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I understand the concept of being aggressive. When I play Madden, I play very aggressively too. You know, I like to send corners on blitzes and safeties on blitzes. But when you have the game essentially locked up, you put that aggressiveness aside and you just take the W. You said, unless there's something else. So maybe Greg Williams wants out of this terrible organization. Maybe he just wants to be done with it. So he's like, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. I'm going to help us, you know, lose this game. That'll give them a reason to fire me. And then he can go on and do other things, you know, because I see people online saying, like, what does he have to gain, you know, by throwing the game? The players were playing well. They were trying to win. I don't buy any of that, because somebody there has to step up to him and say, hey, this is a bad call. This is a boneheaded call. Nobody said that. Nobody did that. There was no, you know, voice in the back of his head. There's no angel or demon on his shoulder telling him not to do this. He did it. It cost them the game, that single move. And you're right. You don't make a call like that unless you're out to lose that game, you know?
Yeah, or you're trying to tank the season.
Yeah, exactly.
You're on the verge of your first win of the entire season, and you call a boneheaded play like that.
I think Greg Williams won it out, and he saw an opportunity to get out and also help the Jets organization achieve their goal of tanking. You know, so it was a win-win for both of them. He would get out by making a boneheaded call, and the Jets would continue their losing ways, because there's no reality where that play call makes sense. You can blitz. You can absolutely blitz in that scenario, but you have to keep a safety back. You have to keep at least one safety back. You have 11 players on defense. You know, you can blitz. You can send six, and you can have four receivers covered and one safety back deep as support. I don't know if that would have helped the situation, but the fact that he called a cover zero blitz.
Yeah, no support in the back.
Just no support whatsoever.
Absolutely atrocious. It's going to go down as the dumbest call of the year. And keep going, Jets, at this rate. You're 0-12 now. Just go. Here you go. 0-16.
Just own it. Just own it.
If I'm Sam Darnold, just sit out the rest of the year. Who cares?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Win two games?
Get a quote-unquote injury so he can ride the bench and collect a paycheck and not injure himself. Yeah.
Who cares at this point? You know? Just who cares? It's the season's done. Go get your number one draft pick and go from there, because obviously you guys just don't care. Futility Watch is alive and strong, baby. Here we go. 0-16. Can't wait to see it.
Well, you know what, Rich, there might be another team joining the Jets in Futility Watch, because there's a second train heading to Tanksville. That is, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, who lost to the Packers 30-16, a heartbreaking loss. What made it even more heartbreaking was the decision to bench starting quarterback Carson Wentz and swap in the unproven second-round pick rookie quarterback Jalen Hurts. Rich, is this now confirmation that the Eagles are done for the season? Because we also, I don't know if you saw the report, they're going to be starting him this week as well, Jalen Hurts. I don't see this as being a move the Eagles make to try and save the season. I see this more as a move that they're acknowledging the season's a wash. We may as well see what the rookie has.
Exactly. It's time. Just hang up this season. This season has been just a tragedy of epic proportions, between the fact that the offensive line has had multiple variations of it. Carson Wentz has had a massive regression. It's just time. Just throw in the towel on this season. It was a weird season anyway, with COVID and everything going on. Just, you know what? Take this season as a loss and regroup. Make sure Carson Wentz is healthy. That was my thing. I don't want to see Carson Wentz go in these last four games that are essentially meaningless, and he gets a freaking, you know, ACL tear or Achilles,
right,
you know, something that keeps him out of next season. That's the worst case scenario.
Right.
Like, if Carson Wentz is going to eat up a huge amount of our cap room going into 2021, all right, let's at least keep him healthy and keep him playing then for next season. All right.
Yeah.
I have no problems with that. throw in Jalen Hurts. Let's see how well he does, and we evaluate him in these last four games. I have no problems with it.
But you know what pisses me off the most about this move is that it's creating a needless quarterback controversy. And I blame all this on Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman created a quarterback controversy where there was no quarterback controversy. You know, here in Philadelphia, we love quarterback controversies. We cannot go a season without there being a quarterback controversy. We just, ever since McNabb was drafted in 99, it's just been nonstop focus on trying to drum up some controversy surrounding the quarterback position. Howie Roseman goes, he gives Wentz an enormous contract and then immediately drafts a quarterback in the second round. He's creating friction there. He's creating tension there where there didn't need to be. And now we're in a situation, a really sticky situation. What if Hurts goes out there and he plays markedly better than Carson Wentz? Who do you start next year? Do you start Wentz? Do you start Hurts? You can't sit Wentz for $30 million. Do you trade Hurts then, try and recoup some draft capital?
Well, at that point, I mean, you could trade one of those two assets.
Yeah, but if you trade Hurts and Wentz continues to struggle, then it's like no matter the outcome, I think that we suffer because of it. And I blame Howie.
Well, I think either way, after seeing Carson Wentz's regression this season, I don't have high hopes going into next season either. I don't think the Eagles are going to suddenly turn everything around and be a playoff contender. So I think we're working with a rebuild no matter what happens with the quarterback position.
So do we get rid of Hurts, who could potentially, I see people online saying he could be the franchise quarterback of the future. We know nothing about this kid, first of all. Let's just pretend in hypothetical Eagles subreddit land that Jalen Hurts is going to be the next, you know, Jesus Christ superstar. If he performs well these next four games, why trade him then? If he is supposedly the savior of the franchise, why trade him for draft capital and continue to ride the Wentz wagon? You know what I mean? They put themselves in a really bad situation here.
Well, at that point, yeah, just you trade one of those two options if the stock goes up. I think it depends on just how well Jalen Hurts does with this turnaround.
It's such a bad situation. It's such a bad situation. And I'm so mad at Howie Roseman. He really screwed this franchise. What?
Would it make you feel better?
Where are you going?
If I got a cat right here, would this make you feel better?
Yes, that does make me feel better.
There you go.
So for those of you not watching the video,
yeah.
Rich just ducked out of frame and just came back with his cat, Tiny Tim.
While I was given my serious discourse, yeah, Tiny Tim decided it was appropriate to gnaw at my leg. So there you go.
That was awesome. He's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you not pay attention to me?
Yeah. You know what Tiny Tim is basically saying? The Eagles aren't worth talking about. Just mindlessly go through the next four games, see what Jalen Hurts can do, and that's it. Reevaluate in the offseason. That's all you can do.
I'll say this one last thing. I've never been in a – very few times have I been in a situation where I actively hope that the Eagles lose because of draft position. You know, right now we're on the cusp of having a top five pick. You know, go for it. Why not?
Well, I'm sure that probably going to lose three out of the four games left. So they have a good shot at it, but I don't know if they go any farther than that, because with the bottom four teams, you are dealing with some stinky teams between, you know, Chargers, Jets, Jaguars. Yeah, some really stinky teams.
We just have to underperform the Cowboys and the Chargers, and we can get into that top five. So,
yeah,
it's a weird end of the season for me to be wanting that, but it's 2020 and anything goes, right?
Yeah. And hey, guess what? Everybody, Washington and New York Giants randomly won this weekend. So there you go. Let them duke out this pitiful division this year. Let them get the honorary crown.
We're going to have a placeholder football team. The Washington football team win the division.
Look, the Washington football team just knocked off the undefeated Steelers.
So, I know. It's absurd.
So anything's possible, which is a good transition into trying to predict the future with our fantastic four picks for week 14. We got four games that we think you should keep an eye out for. And we've got our predictions on them. Mike, what is our first game?
First up, we have two teams fighting to stay alive. The Arizona Cardinals are traveling to New York to face off against the Giants Sunday at 1 o'clock. Both these teams are barely making the playoffs right now if the season were to end. Both of them fighting to stay in the race. Rich, the Cardinals have been on a little bit of a slump. The Giants have been on a surprising surge. Who do you see winning this one?
This is fascinating. The Giants have had a nice little rebound.
And it's been the defense.
They are leading a little bit of a second half charge here to try and win the NFC East division. And even without their starting quarterback, I mean, they're starting quarterback and starting running back. Everyone keeps forgetting they're also down Saquon Barkley too. They're down him, Daniel Jones. It's an ugly sight, but yet they are still being competitive, pulling out a win against Seattle, which was random.
They've won four straight now.
Yeah, they're on a tear. I think, though, I would rather go with the Cardinals' offensive explosiveness in this one. To me, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Kenyon Drake, that's an offense I think that might be too much for this young Giants defense to handle. And I think just overall, they're the more balanced team between the two. I would err on the side of the Cardinals in this one.
I'm going to take a flyer here and I'm going to say Giants.
Hey, it's possible.
The Cardinals have been on a slump. They are lacking that magic they had earlier in the season. Meanwhile, the Giants are getting hot at the right time. And like I said, they've won their last four games. Now, granted, they've won against lackluster teams, but the Cardinals aren't exactly setting the world on fire. They're one team. I mean, one game difference between the two, 6-6 and 5-7. We're acting like there's a gulf between these two teams, and there's not. This is easily a game that the Cardinals could lose to the Giants, to the surging Giants at home. I'm going with Giants here.
It's possible.
Also, I hope that they take the division further so that we don't have to worry about the Eagles accidentally winning the division. Who knows?
There is that aspect. But I think just dismissing the Cardinals outright, I think there is something to be said that they are playing a very tough NFC West division. They've had to go through a murderer's row of opponents the last couple of games. I'm going to cut the Cardinals a little bit of slack. So that's where I'm coming from.
I mean, you're probably right, but I like the story of the Giants. Next up, we have an AFC playoff preview. The Pittsburgh Steelers are traveling to Buffalo to face off against the Bills. This is a Sunday primetime game. Rich, the Steelers recently lost to the Washington football team. Anything is possible any given Sunday. Does that loss set them on a little bit of a slump here against a still surging Buffalo team? Who do you got?
This is tough because this is going to be one of two extremes. Either the Steelers take the loss that they got from the Washington football team and either they continue the slump or it wakes them up and they rebound in this game against the Bills. I think to me it comes down to whether or not James Conner comes back. Because they need that pop from the running game, and they were definitely missing that a little bit the last couple of weeks. I was so tempted just easily write off the Steelers, but it is possible that they could get that fire back after the loss from last week's game. But my gut still says Buffalo Bills at home. The Buffalo Bills too are all on a separate mission to put away the division too. They want to wrap that up as early as possible because they don't want to have any sort of chance that the Dolphins come back in that, or you know, they lose a late divisional game in the season. I'm still confident in the Bills. I think the Bills probably take this one and prey upon the Steelers reeling from their first loss against Washington. Also on a weird. That's another thing, too. Steelers have been on a weird schedule the last couple of weeks. I'm sure that's been not helpful at the minimum. So I like the Bills in this one.
Yeah, you know what? I tend to agree. I like the Bills in this one. The Steelers, it was too good to be true, you know. That Bills offense, they're secretly one of the better offenses in the league. They have one of the best passing attacks in the game, and it's
Josh
just like
Allen.
You don't think of the Bills that way.
Josh Allen has been a top five quarterback this year.
Yeah, and you know, I caught a little bit of the game earlier. What was it? Just last night, I think the Bills game. It was a close one, but man, they show some real tenacity. They hung in there and they ended up pulling off a close game. I like the Bills. What they did last year, what they continue to do this year, they are a up and coming team. And if they end up beating the Steelers, it would be such a huge statement game for them. You know, it's almost like they have to win it. That division now could be solely theirs. You know, the Dolphins are creeping up, but if they win against the Steelers, that is a massive statement. It's almost, I don't want to say it's a must win, but it's, you know, the next closest thing to a must win if they want to prove that they're going to hang in there with the elite of the AFC. So I think they got to do it. I think it's going to be the Bills. They're going to have to find a way to topple the Steelers. And I think they have a pretty good shot at doing it.
Yep.
So I like the Bills as well. Next up, we have two teams on the edge. So we had two teams at the top of the AFC. Now we have two teams at the bottom of the AFC, the Indianapolis Colts and the Las Vegas Raiders, both hovering around that seventh and eighth seed. And I say that because this year there's seven playoff teams. So this game could determine who jumps into the playoffs and who falls out of them. Rich, who do you like in this Sunday afternoon game, the Indianapolis Colts or the Las Vegas Raiders?
So this might surprise you after everything we went through with the Jets, because the Raiders, they were on the verge of losing that game to the winless Jets. And who knows where they would have been if they actually did lose that game. But the Colts, I watched their game last week against the Texans, and I think you used to say great teams stomp down on bad opponents,
mm-hmm.
You know, like whether or not you want to issue, you know, whether or not you want to take into account resting players or taking your foot off the gas pedal. It still is important that you beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Right.
Colts, I was following their game last week against the Texans. They almost lost that game, and it came down to a lucky fumble in the red zone that Deshaun Watson did. Otherwise, Deshaun Watson was about to punch it in for a game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter to upset the Colts, 27-26, I think was the score. It would have been 1 point. It was a very close game. And I don't know, to me, that ruined my confidence in the Colts again. I am kind of back on not trusting the Colts, especially with Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers just does not seem to be able to lead this team to the promised land. Maybe they get to the playoffs, but I don't see them going any farther than that this year. And a game like this might be the line in the sand. You know, the Raiders are an explosive offensive unit. They're capable of throwing up points at any time. You know, you give them a little bit of a chance, they take advantage of it. I think the Raiders are going to pull this one off. It's something within the calculus of the things that I've seen from watching these two teams play the last 2 weeks. The gut is telling me the Raiders are going to pull this one off.
It's weird because both these teams are kind of in somewhat of a slump the past few weeks. You know, the Colts lost to the Titans, big loss, and then they barely beat the Texans. Meanwhile, the Raiders got blown out by the Falcons, absolutely demolished, and then barely snuck by the Jets. So it's where they're both in a similar position. Who can regain their footing before the other one, kind of deal, because they're both kind of slipping and sliding. I'm just going through some of the losses that the Raiders have had. They've lost to tough opponents. They lost to the Patriots, the Bills, the Chiefs. You know, the Falcons was an abnormality, but, you know, they haven't had an easy schedule, the Raiders. So I'm hearing what you're saying. And oh man, I'm so torn on this one. But I'm gonna agree. I think the Raiders at home, they'll be a little bit more comfortable. I'm hoping that they will see, you know, that they need to kick it up a notch, because I'm looking at the Colts schedule. They've had a few impressive wins, but they've had a couple of bad losses as well. This is a tough one. This is why they're both hovering around that 7-8 seed, because they're both like, you don't know really what to make of them yet. They're both, you know, just slightly above average. I'm gonna be cautious, and I'm gonna be conservative and side with the home team here, and just, you know, give them a slight edge. But it could go either way.
This is a weird theory to try out, but I'm gonna go with just the last taste theory. You know, the Raiders, even though they got lucky on one of the dumbest coaching calls of all time, the Raiders still had to execute. Derek Carr still had to throw a good ball to Henry Ruggs and complete the pass, and it was a momentous moment for the whole team. Everybody got excited. The Colts were dangling. They were about to lose that game, and they just got lucky that Deshaun Watson had a fumble and the defense recovered. It's kind of a different taste in the mouth.
What you're talking about is like a momentum swinger. You know, we saw it in 2017 when the Eagles won that improbable game against the Giants on like a 60-some yard field goal. Look at what that did in 2017. I'm not saying it's going to happen with the Raiders, but every once in a while you have those moments that galvanize a team, that bring them together. So potentially escaping from the jaws of defeat against the worst team in the league, that might be what they need to turn them around and propel them into that, you know, that last seed of the playoffs. And then maybe they go in, get hot at the right time. Maybe they upset an opponent or two. So yeah, I like what you're saying. I'm going Raiders. It should be a close game, but I'm going to give the slight edge to the home team.
Yep.
And finally, speaking of home teams, Rich, how's our very own hometown Philadelphia Eagles going to fare when the New Orleans Saints come into town? Are we all aboard the Tanksville Express? What's going on here? Who's going to win this one, and why is it the Saints?
Saints. They're just a better, consistent team. Their defense has been pretty consistent too this year, which has kept them in some of these games without Drew Brees. Taysom Hill threw a passing touchdown. So, wow, there you go. He can pass. It's going to be Saints.
it's definitely going to be Saints. And what about Malcolm Jenkins coming back to Philly with his former team? He's going to have a little bit of extra inspiration to play well against us, and especially against an unproven rookie quarterback. I can just, first, we always struggle against the Saints.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a team that always seems to have our number.
The Seahawks and the Saints always have our number. I don't see there being any way that the Eagles win this game. I really don't. I think we're dropping to 3-9-1. I think it's cut and dry, pretty simple. It's going to be Saints.
All right, well, there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 14 of the NFL season. All right, enough sports. We got to get into some other news. I was going to say this is entertainment, but part of me thinks this might be odd news. We might be jumping the gun on odd news, but this is a real story that went viral. Apparently, PlayStation 5s are in so much demand that people are willing to commit crime over them. We've got multiple instances of people stealing trucks. And Mike, did you send this over? There are actually gangs involved?
So I don't know about gangs, but the articles that I'm reading reference gangs. But yeah, they are pulling off heists of moving delivery trucks to steal PlayStation 5s. And this is pretty much as odd news as you can get in the entertainment. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm reading this article now where they're using a method where they're boxing in, it's a UK article, so they call them lorries, but they're boxing in lorries going 50 miles an hour. One gang member climbs out secured by a rope through a sunroof or modified hatch, then uses cutting tools or a crowbar to break into the lorry, climb aboard, and throw out the goods. 2020 has become a Fast and Furious movie. What is happening I know people want their PlayStation 5s. Okay, I get it. And as somebody who has one, I know that it's a great machine.
You better watch out. You've said now on publicly on this podcast you got a PlayStation 5. You better keep that under lock and key.
I'm bad at math. I meant a PlayStation 3. You don't want to come anywhere near. Yeah, okay. I'm dumb.
You have a PlayStation 3 and a PlayStation 2. So if you combine it, technically you have a PlayStation 5.
I just duct tape them together.
Yeah.
It's a PlayStation 5. Yeah.
Perfect.
Silly me, bad with my math. Don't steal PlayStation 5s, people. Don't buy them from scalpers on eBay. Just wait, okay? After the holidays, there's going to be a ton of returns. There's all those people that bought up 20 consoles with their bots are going to have to make their returns because their return window is coming to a close. So there's going to be a huge influx of stock. Don't break into a moving delivery truck. Don't steal my PlayStation 5 out of the house. just wait, okay? Just wait. I'm preaching patience. I know that's easy for me to say on the other side of the table, but like I saw this article, people breaking into moving trucks. What is happening?
So actually, on another side note, I had an odd news piece that I kind of shoved away, but I guess it's appropriate since we're talking about PS5s. There was I got to try and remember the article correctly. But I think this might have been over in New Zealand. Someone posted a for sale article on Craigslist that said that I'm selling you a PlayStation 5 image. Like he wrote in the bylines, PlayStation 5 image, $350. Please keep in mind, you are buying the image. This is freshly off of the printer.
Oh, my God.
Like, the whole point of the article was to see if he could buy, if he could get somebody to buy the 300, or what? How much did it cost? $400?
$500?
The $500 PlayStation 5 piece of paper, because somebody didn't look through the description of it and everything, and he got an offer. And he made $500. Somebody bought the piece of paper, and there's nothing you
can... he actually did it. He actually made the $500. Man, you know, I'm gonna start selling pictures on eBay.
And there's nothing. There's no legal ramification because he put in the description.
Right. He said
and,
picture. Yeah.
Yeah. He said it was fresh off the printer. It was an image of the PlayStation 5.
Oh my God.
It was an 8.5 by 11. Like. He put in all the disclaimer that you want.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous! I love that. You should have brought that to the odd news. I mean, it's crazy.
There you go. Appropriate for this part of the Crispy Compact Communique instead.
Yeah, people are going wild trying to get these PlayStation 5s. Please, everybody, just relax. Okay, it's a great console, but it's not stealing delivery trucks or buying pieces of paper or spending $2,000. Good. Just wait, okay?
If you're going to spend $2,000, at that rate, you might as well just build a PC. Just build your own PC.
Build a gaming PC.
Build a battle station. More satisfying.
Oh, but anyway, crazy random PlayStation 5 theft stories aside, let's get into the next story in the entertainment entree because it is a jam-packed segment here, and this one is about one of my favorite superheroes of all time. I'm of course talking about Spider-Man. I'm actually wearing a Marvel shirt. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah, there you go.
Watching the video.
Got the Marvel shirt on.
So it was recently announced and confirmed that Alfred Molina will be joining the cast of Spider-Man 3, reprising his role as Dr. Octopus from the second Spider-Man movie starring Tobey Maguire. And if you're a little confused, it's understandable because Spider-Man in the past 20 years has undergone two different reboots. We're on our third Spider-Man franchise in 20 years. We had the Tobey Maguire franchise, the Andrew Garfield franchise, and now the Tom Holland franchise. So Doc Ock, Alfred Molina, is coming over from the first franchise, but he's also joined by Jamie Foxx, who played Electro in the Andrew Garfield franchise of Spider-Man. And the reason I bring this up is because now the rumors were swirling before, but now they're really kicked into high gear. You have a villain, because it's confirmed he's reprising his role as Doc Ock. You have a villain from the first franchise, a villain from the second franchise, and Doctor Strange from the new Avengers timeline. And all of a sudden, there's only one word on people's lips: Spider-Verse. Rich, I have a very strong belief, and I would be shocked if they don't go this route, that they are going to try and make a live-action Spider-Verse type plotline, and this is how Spider-Man either exits the MCU or makes it much more flexible in how they can introduce Spider-Man characters, or somehow make it so that they can use Spider-Man in the Sony universe, because Sony desperately wants to bring Spider-Man into the Venom movies and into the Sinister Six movies, because why would you have Venom and the Sinister Six without Spider-Man? Those are Spider-Man's villains. You kind of need the hero to go along with them, you know? So this is very interesting developments. I'm very excited to see where this goes, and it's pretty much confirms it, right? I'm not going crazy.
I would think so. I don't see why else you would hire the same actors from the previous two franchises. I feel like this is like a weird battle of the multiverses, because you have this happening in Marvel, and then in DC, there is some sort of weird Batman thing that's going to try and happen, because Batman's...
That's right, they are doing the Batman multi... I don't even know
yeah,
what.
Yeah, Batverse, I don't know. I don't know what you would call it, Bat Multiverse, because they're doing something similar with Michael Keaton, using him as an older Batman in the new Batman movie. So, I don't know. Apparently, all the comic books are obsessed with... All the comic book movie franchises now are obsessed with this multiverse.
Well, I'll say this about the multiverse thing, specifically in regard to Spider-Man. It is a big storyline in Spider-Man's actual, like, character, this whole Spider-Verse thing, multiple Spider-Man. I mean, I remember watching Spider-Verse stories in the 90s cartoon as a kid, you know, where you get multiple Spider-Men. And I think right now, if they can pull it off, they're tapping into something, because it's very popular right now in this moment, because you have the cartoon Into the Spider-Verse, which did really well for Sony, the animated Spider-Verse movie. You also have the video game series that has both Spider-Man and the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man in the same, you know, video game yeah. universe. So they're really laying the groundwork. They're really getting the general public into this idea that, like, yes, there are multiple Spider-Men. So if the MCU can pull this off and tap into that same vein that the animated movie and the video game have succeeded in, and this could be a huge boon for the MCU and this Tom Holland Spider-Man franchise, because I think Tom Holland's the best Spider-Man of the lot. So if you can also get Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and bring in those villains that they've already done, and not make it seem like a reboot, but like give an actual narrative reason for them to come back in, that could be a lot of fun. I mean, just think of the stories you could tell. I mean, it's limitless, literally, with the multiverse. So if they can pull it off and pull it off well, this could be really big for Spider-Man and the MCU. Spider-Man fans should be excited, because if you could take the best parts of each franchise and put them all together, that's a win-win for everybody, right?
Yeah. I just, if they're going to do something like this in the movie, they have to do something similar to the Spider-Man meme where all the Spider-Men point at each other. You know,
they have to be a part of the movie.
Everything will be a failure. Everything will be a failure if they do not do that scene. If they do not bring the meme to life.
You know what, Rich? I love Spider-Man, but I agree. If they don't bring that meme to life, it's dead to me.
Yes.
It's dead to me.
That is a missed opportunity if I've ever seen one. So that's my two cents.
Absolutely. You know who's not missing any opportunities, though? Warner Brothers Films. They are hitting on a huge opportunity here in the middle of the pandemic, because they're expecting it to go into 2021, and they're setting their best foot forward. They announced that they are debuting all of their 2021 movie slate on HBO Max. That means Wonder Woman 1984. That means Dune. That means The Matrix 4. That means Mortal Kombat. All these big blockbuster movies will hit theaters and HBO Max simultaneously day one. Caveat, they'll only stay on HBO Max for 1 month and then continue to show in theaters. But for that 1 month, subscribers in the US will be able to stream the films for free in 4K HDR. This is a huge announcement. I mean, this is, you know, you saw movie studios, oh, no, theater exclusivity. All of a sudden, Warner Brothers are like, screw it.
Yep. It's time. It's time for everyone to get on the same page on this. We're living in a different era. Until COVID is officially solved and the vaccine gets out to, you know, the majority of people, this has to be the way you go. It has to be. At least if you want your movie to be seen by anyone, I'm sorry. This is the way it has to be, because nobody in their right mind is going into a packed movie theater to go see a movie anymore. It's not happening.
And, you know, I'll say this. I'm of two minds because I miss going to the theaters. I really enjoyed going to theaters. I'm one of the few people left, I think, that enjoyed the theater experience. But I haven't been in a theater in over a year because, I mean, you know, it's the times. And it's sad that it took a pandemic to get us to this point, but I actually think that this is the trend of the future anyway. Outside of those tentpole blockbusters, I don't know that movie theaters make sense anymore for a lot of these smaller projects. So, you know, I've always been pro-streaming. If more filmmakers embrace streaming, bring it to more audiences, give people more options, those are never bad things, you know? So it's a shame that it took a pandemic to get us there, but I really like this embracing of the streaming platform, because now you can bring even more films to more people all over the globe at once, you know? And that could be a very powerful tool. Unfortunately, there are also people like Christopher Nolan that speak out against this. He hates these streaming platforms. He thinks this is a terrible idea. I think it's interesting that he's saying this now, and I'm going to take issue with him. He's saying this now when it was his film Tenet bombing in theaters that probably prompted WB to make this move. And him being obstinate and not allowing his film to go to streaming and trying to do an actual theatrical release basically sealed the fate for these movie studios. Agree or disagree, Rich?
I hate to say it, but for the most part, I agree with you, Mike. I really do love Christopher Nolan. I love his films.
Oh, as do I. Some of my favorite movies.
Yeah, but I think this is a case where you need to recognize the scope and the emergency of the moment. There's just no way. There's just no way that a movie theater can exist in this era of COVID. It just can't. You literally, the whole goal is we're trying to make sure that people aren't packed in small cramped spaces. And you can right. do your best, you know, in trying to remove seats and, you know, have the theater only have like 10, 15 people, but it's still the idea of it that is, if you're purporting it, it's just sheer ignorance at this point. This is something that transcends what the movie industry is right now. This is more important. And
right.
it's something that I think Christopher Nolan has to just swallow his pride on. I hate to say it. Normally, I would probably be on his side, but we're in a different era. And until COVID is solved, we can't help the movie industry. We don't even have the stepping stone to even think about getting movies back in the movie theater right now. This is a battle you have to fight after COVID is solved. And unfortunately, it's not happening in the next year or so.
Right. And I would argue that if you want the idea of the theater going experience to stay alive, you need to take these steps. Because these studios need to put out these movies. They can't just keep holding them forever and ever and ever, because if they can't recoup the cost of making these movies, they're going to stop making some of these movies.
At this rate, we're never going to see the new Bond movie. It just keeps getting delayed another six months.
Well, exactly. And they haven't been shooting films. They haven't been releasing films. So if you want the movie industry to stay alive, and part of that also is I'm seeing deals now where I can't remember which, I think it may have been Universal, but don't quote me on that, that the movie studios are striking deals with theater chains where they get a portion of the streaming proceeds or something along those lines. The theater chains allow the movies to be shown streaming, and then during that window they get a portion of the proceeds, because you have to keep the theaters alive too. You know, it's not just keeping the studios alive, you have to keep the theaters alive. So it's a very tricky situation, but I think in the interim you have to do what is necessary. Yeah. You have to find a way to get these movies out to the public, you know?
It's a shame. I will admit it's a shame seeing the local theater shut down and have it, you know. It's funny, I drive by a Regal on the way to work every, you know, pretty much every day, and or sometimes I'm driving back home late at night, and it is weird to see, just it is just empty and there's no lights on, there's no neon, you know, like it is creepy. So unfortunately that's just something we have to accept right now. It's just there's nothing you can do about it.
So I looked up what I was talking about. Universal made a deal with AMC and Cinemark where anything that they show on streaming or video on demand services, these theaters will get a 15 to 17% cut of the revenue made on video on demand services. So Universal doing their part to try and keep theater chains alive, because it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, you need both. You need the studios and the theaters to do well. And Christopher Nolan, back to the original point, Christopher Nolan is he's driving a wedge between these two entities when he should be like, all right, let's all like try to come together. You know, he's making it more difficult than making it easier to try and navigate these waters. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We have to do what's necessary at this time, you know, so.
Everybody,
when the pandemic ends, go see some movies. And
right, right. When the moment we're all vaccinated and everything's taken care of in 2022, rush back to the movie theater.
Exactly.
Yep. And concerts, by the way, too. Concerts, another field that's been
another one. Entertainment in general has been struggling this year. So support your artists is basically what we're saying.
Speaking of artists, I guess my art form is odd news. So,
you are the Picasso and the Michelangelo of odd news over there. What do you got this week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, every week we got to have some odd news here to make you feel good about yourself. All right. So I got an interesting story here for you. And it does take place in Florida, Mike. So can I please have your signature quote?
Who is this effing guy in Florida? It's Florida and they're crazy.
All right. Well, we're going to follow the story of a convicted felon who's known as Bud Light Mike. Good old Bud Light Mike.
That's funny because I don't like Bud Light.
All right. So this isn't you then. We know this isn't you.
No, it's definitely not me.
Or is that something Bud Light Mike would say to throw people off his trail?
Who knows?
Damn it, Mike, you be honest with me right now.
Am I Bud Light Mike?
Damn it, Mike, I need to know. I'm your podcasting partner, for Christ's sakes.
No, I am not Bud Light Mike, but I am dying to know more about Bud Light Mike. Is that his actual name?
Well, no, this is his nickname.
That's only his criminal name.
Yeah, okay. But you are going to find it funny because apparently he has multiple instances of crimes with Bud Light, and the police actually gave him the alias Bud Light Mike in his police report.
Of course they did.
So so anytime this guy is arrested, and you know they ask people when they get arrested, you know, do you go by any other names? He has to say, I'm Bud Light Mike.
Oh my god. You mean, oh my god. Okay, so he has to say, you're talking about like on forms when it says, do you have any other aliases?
Yeah, or whatever? He's got to say, my alias is Bud Light Mike. It's actually in the police files.
Okay, so it's official now. His alias is Bud Light Mike.
Yeah.
But how did he get the name? You said there were several crimes with Bud Light. Why? Look, is this going to amount to him committing crime to get Bud Light? Because Bud Light is not the type of beer that you want to commit crimes to acquire. You know, when we talked about people committing crimes to get a PlayStation 5, this is lower than that.
Yes.
Okay? If it's an option between jumping onto a moving delivery truck to steal PlayStation 5s or Bud Light, choose the truck with the PlayStation 5s.
Yeah. Okay? Not the Bud Light.
Right. So tell me, Rich, I got to know more specifics here.
Okay, so here's his latest stint, if you will. Okay. According to Florida police, Michael Filipkowski, what a name.
Is it Filipkowski or is the whole name Filipkowski?
The whole name is Filipkowski.
Okay, that's one name.
Yeah, no, that's not a middle name or anything. Okay. No, that's his whole last name.
Wow, that is a name.
Yeah, it is. 51-year-old Michael Filipkowski swiped 24 cans of Bud Light from a public supermarket in Treasure Island. He was subsequently arrested after they only found 21 of the cans. So, wow, he chugged a couple on the way out. Not gonna take me and my cans alive.
I mean, look, he went through all that trouble to steal it. You know, he wanted to get at least a couple in, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, getting three down before the cops confronted him.
Yeah.
So for this one, and for the fact that he has multiple prior theft convictions, he was now charged with a felony theft count. So he got a full-blown felony for this.
Wow.
Just for Bud Light. But here's some of his past crimes, if you want to learn more about Bud Light, Mike.
Okay.
So apparently before this, in April, he ran into a Wawa store in Clearwater, Florida. That must have been one of the first ones that opened up in Florida.
Yeah.
And ran in to steal Bud Light and was also charged of carrying the stolen Bud Light as an open container.
Okay. So he... He just ran in, grabbed it, and ran out? Or yeah. Tried to, I guess?
Right. He ran to a bus stop. Good call there. And the cops found him with the stolen Bud Light in that case.
You just steal something. You're like, I got to get away from the cops. I better catch the bus.
I got to catch the 4 o'clock.
This is the lowest possible way I can think of getting away from the cops. Are you just waiting at the bus stop, waiting around for the bus?
You'll never get me. I'm going to get out of here real fast. See? Oh, where's the 4 o'clock? It's late. Ah, darn it.
Jesus, hide in a bush or something. Have you never played Grand Theft Auto 5?
Oh, no, so, yeah, try the bus stop. Sure. What a wonderful getaway.
What a wonderful getaway.
In 2018, he was convicted of stealing 2 18 packs of Bud Light packs from a Speedway store.
Okay.
That's a lot to try and... An 18 pack's pretty big. Like, you gotta...
Well, he stole two of them. That's yeah. 36. That's a lot.
He's like
that's
trying...
Heavy.
He's trying to, like, bear hug this all and, like, get out of the store.
Yeah. Not exactly stealthy.
Yeah, this guy's not very, he's not the A-lister in terms of thieves here.
No. Also, why? I still go back to why. Why steal that much Bud Light? Like, it's not, this just pick something better.
This man must love Bud Light. That's all I can say.
It's his name, Rich. Yeah. He has to like it.
It's Bud Light Mike.
Bud Light Mike.
Sounds like a weird commercial. This guy's willing to commit crimes. Why? He's Bud Light Mike.
Bud Light should just run with it. They should
hire this guy. Be like, this guy is willing to commit a felony. Why? He's
you know
Bud
what?
Light Mike.
Think about the positive PR. Here you go. Bud Light hires him. So they're doing a few things. One, they're giving him a second chance. I mean, how much more noble is that? Give him a second chance. Two, they are preventing crime.
Yeah.
They're giving him a lifetime supply of Bud Light. He no longer...
You don't have to pay him. Just pay him in beer.
But look, they're taking a criminal off the street. They're giving him a second chance. And they have a weird story to tell for a commercial. I mean, that's just a win-win-win right there for Bud Light. They got to do it.
He also has another conviction of an open container of alcohol on the beach. So apparently he likes to have some fun out on the beach there.
Okay.
I guess in Florida, you can't bring alcohol on a public beach?
I don't think you can do that in Jersey either, Rich.
I think it depends on the city in Jersey, because I know Ocean City you can't.
Ocean City's dry.
Ocean City's dry, but I'm Atlantic City.
I actually don't know.
You definitely can. I know that.
Open?
Yeah.
Don't you have to disguise it or something?
I don't think so. At least I've.
I honestly don't know. At least you haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should have been charged with a crime. Whoops. Okay, and then there was another instance in 2016 where Filipkowski got into trouble with the law after he failed to pay for a Bud Light he ordered at a bar. Come on, man. How much is a Bud
Dude,
Light? Two bucks?
Really?
$3?
Come on. Yeah, exactly.
Come on. You got to have a couple dollars on you.
I like how these crimes are getting, like, less and less. Like, it started off with, like, I'm going to take 218 packs of Bud Light, and then he's like just shorting the, you know, the bar for one beer. Like, I don't know, he started out so grandiose and now he's just like,
I guess I did it in reverse order. You should look at it as it was a steady incline, because he started out small and then he went big.
Oh wait, are you saying that was his first one? Was
2016 was the one he couldn't pay the Bud Light at the hotel bar.
Oh, so we start out. Oh, so he's escalating.
Right, he's escalating. He's going the other way.
You did it in reverse. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's alarming. Jesus.
So actually, Bud Light needs to stop him.
Bud Light can be a superhero.
They have a responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. They look. I'm telling you, Bud Light. This is the way to do it. You take a criminal off the street by hiring him and giving him a second chance. Those are both good PR things. You're stopping crime and promoting second chances. You get a new spokesperson. You know, it's like, I mean, what more could you want?
Yep. And just to make sure it's not Mike Costanzo, I do have a mugshot of Bud Light Mike. So there he is for everyone watching the video form of the Crispy Compact Communique.
I'm cleared.
Mike is cleared. We have the perp. We have the perp shot here.
Doesn't look anything like me.
Of Bud Light Mike. So there he is.
He also doesn't look like a good spokesperson for Bud Light. So maybe my plan isn't that great.
Yeah, maybe. Unfortunately, maybe he shouldn't be the spokesperson. But who knows? Maybe make him a character.
Sure.
Just take the name Bud Light Mike and just put it on somebody else.
Okay.
You don't have to use the guy.
No, you don't. That's true.
But there you go. Bud Light Mike strikes again. Watch out, Florida. He's up to his shenanigans with his precious Bud Light.
Look, I'm just surprised Florida's going to make it out of 2020 alive. Okay? So,
yeah, there's been some weird stuff happening in Florida this past
year.
There
really has been.
You know, it's funny. I was actually thinking about this. At some point, we got to put together our list of the best odd news of 2020.
And
initially my concern was, oh my God, we've only done one a week instead of a couple stories like we used to do on the regular podcast.
Right, right.
But then I realized some of the stories that we've done, and you know what? We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We've had some good stories anyway. So yeah. Don't worry about that. We'll have a good best of odd news whenever we get around to that. But I'm thinking too far now ahead. We got to wrap up this show in a bit. But before we do, let's go over apocalypse activities, something that we think you should do or watch or perform. I don't know, whatever this upcoming weekend.
Perform? What do you?
I don't know. Maybe feel like doing a dance. I don't know. Do some Batuzzi. I don't know. Do
a little jig.
Yeah, something.
All right. Well, I have something not for someone to perform, but I have something for people to watch. So we talked a little bit about movies premiering on streaming services just before the show. I confirmed that it is available. One of the first premium video on demand premieres from 2020 that sort of sparked this whole trend. Mulan, the live-action Mulan, is available on Disney Plus for everybody who has a subscription to watch. You don't have to pay the extra $30 or whatever it was Disney wanted you to pay. So now that it's finally available for normal subscribers, I don't have to pay extra. I'll probably give that a watch as my apocalypse activity. I'm kind of interested to see how it is. I heard it didn't do well, in terms of, you know, reviews. But, you know me, I'm a big Disney fan. There's really no new movies coming out. So this is one of the few opportunities that you have to watch, you know, a newer movie. If you're looking for something Christmas themed, I don't know if I talked about this, but there's a great animated film on Netflix called Klaus. That's basically an origin story for Santa Claus, but done in a very unique way. It is a funny, heartwarming, unique twist on the Santa Claus origin story. What I really love about it is it's a Christmas movie that's really not about Christmas. Those are my favorite Christmas movies. It's not like, you know, the Hallmark movies where it's like, oh, you know, somebody comes back to town who's been away for so long and finds romance because it's Christmas. This is the complete opposite of that. It's tongue in cheek. It's slightly dark. It's funny the entire time, but at the same time, heartwarming. Go check out Klaus on Netflix and Mulan on Disney Plus. That's my recommendation for Apocalypse Activities this week.
All right. And my Apocalypse Activity is a direct shot at Mike. Mike, you need to watch The Mandalorian. Season 2 is getting better and better every week, and something has happened in the last episode that is awesome. It is okay. Absolutely awesome. I think I can go so far as to say it redeems a character, and that's all I can say, because if I say something else, you're going to know who I'm talking about. So
okay. Is it Jar Jar Binks?
No, it's not Jar Jar Binks. But Damn. But it's somebody that I think you'd be interested in seeing.
Okay.
So, right. Mike, you need to get on your Star Wars horse, and you need to start watching The Mandalorian.
I will gallop straight into Season 2 of The Mandalorian. I know you recommended it last week, and I've been putting it off. I've been hemming and hawing. But you told me last week that, man, they introduced some stuff that really sends things in a different direction. It seems like they're leaning heavily into that. So, I mean, every week that goes by, you're really making a strong case for it. It's just a matter of actually sitting down and watching it, because you know me, I like to add things to my streaming queues and ignore it for multiple years.
I'm telling you, don't deal with this.
Okay.
They're starting to really hit their stride with this show.
Okay. Well, that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Our Apocalypse Activities for this upcoming week. But for now, it's time to start wrapping this episode up. Thank you guys for watching our crazy little show. Thank you guys for all the support in this crazy COVID year of 2020. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole shebang. And let us know what's happening in your world with comments, with tweets, and we'll take them all under advisement. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, send it our way, and we'll give you a shout out if we do talk about your submission.
Yeah, you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast YouTube channel, where you can find videos of these podcasts every week, in addition to a lot of other great content that we have up there. But you can still get the audio version of the podcasts if you subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Get the latest episodes downloaded for free every week. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice or on YouTube.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we got the mini noodles, the promos of this show that are fun to listen to and are just, you know, a quick minute or two worth your time, worth a free laugh in the morning if you want to take a listen to those as well.
Yeah, so many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But like Rich said earlier, if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories or just whatever, you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and let us know what is happening in your world. But for right now, it is time to wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Compact Communique, the 2020 version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. You got anything else, Mike?
No, I'm good.
All right, then that is it. We are wrapping this up. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Barbara Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.